Well, it's called Sex, a tell-all exhibition. So maybe it's no surprise that an exhibit at the Canada Science and Technology Museum has raised a few eyebrows. It includes life-size nude photographs and interactive mannequins whose erogenous zones light up when touched. The Canadian Minister for Heritage, James Moore, said the content, which is aimed at teenagers, could not be defended and was insulting to taxpayers. Well, visitors on the opening day had mixed reactions.
I understand why the age has been upped to 16 versus 12. I am grateful for that increase of age, but I do think it has its place in our museum.
I think it's a great spot for kids to come to, but with their parents, not with teachers.
I came from Miami, Florida. I'm a tourist here for the Tulip Festival. I will never come back to Ottawa again. This is an embarrassment. It's a scandal. It's a shame. And I pity the youngsters who have to come here and be exposed to child porn.
These are things that are real, that are happening, and it's much better for kids to learn about it here and not on the internet or on like by friends and stuff that might or might not be real, and just get the real facts out there.
Visitors on the opening day of the new exhibition, Sex, a Tell-All Exhibition at the Science and Technology Museum. Well, Dave Quist is the Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, which has lobbied for the exhibition to be cancelled. And Nadine Thornhill is the Program Coordinator of Insight Theatre, which teaches young people about sexual health and is sponsored by Planned Parenthood Ottawa. They have both been to see the exhibition, and now they're both here in the studio with me. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Rob.
Hi.
Good morning.
Dave, let's start with you. What are the reasons why you wanted this exhibit cancelled?
Well, we waited until we could see the exhibit ourselves because it's not fair to just go on what other reports have said without having some firsthand knowledge, or at least somebody that has seen it directly. We looked at it and we felt that there were some parts of it that were not fully accurate. We felt that there were some parts of it that were actually lacking in some of the information as well. Let me give you some examples. There are a couple of videos. One video that talks about friends with benefits as if it's an everyday occurrence. Now, I'm not a prude. I realize that occurs within society. However, it's not something that occurs with every person within society as well. The way it was depicted, it sounds as if from the video that it is. Multiple partners. That's something else. It's very personal. It's an issue that I think is draws in the the moral ethical side of the question as well. What's also lacking is it doesn't talk about sex within an intimacy, a relationship. My research says sex is best within marriage, actually, as well. So it doesn't talk about that in any way, shape, or form. The one question that talks, where there's another thing that's lacking, it talks about a question-answer period, and it says, I'm pregnant, what are my options? And the two options that are given is you can run to term, or you can have an abortion. There's no mention of adoption being a viable option as well. Mm. Now, some would say, well, that's taking it to term, but there are other variables there that go into that as well.
So after seeing it, mm-hmm. Do you still want it to be canceled?
We made that decision after we saw it. That was our open letter that we sent to Minister Moore.
Nadine, what did you think of it?
I thought it was a wonderful exhibit, and what I loved about it is I thought it was comprehensive because it talked about the importance of practicing safer sex, of considering contraception, of considering barrier methods, of considering hormonal methods of contraception. It talked about sex as procreation, you know, that is how you make a baby. It talked about gestation. It talked about the baby growing inside of a woman's body. And it also talked about sex as a very positive, life-affirming thing. What I find is interesting is I know the video that Dave is referring to, and you're absolutely right. There is a video that talks about multiple partners. There is a video that talks about casual sex. There is also a video where there is a 40-year-old man who is talking about the passion that he has for his wife that he has been married to for 20 years. And I don't know if you mm-hmm. saw that part mm-hmm. of the video. So it does actually talk about sex within the context of a commitment as being a wonderful, wonderful thing. But what it's also saying is that there's a breadth of sexual experience and that those sexual experiences are very individual and very different.
That's a good point, isn't it?
Well, it is a point. And I did see that video. And there, that is one piece of many pieces of information that are out there. So, you know, in context, it's a very small percentage of what was actually being shown or displayed on panels and so on. The context context of sexual education, I have no problem with. The question is where it is best to come from or started from. In my view, and what the research I believe tells me, is that parents have to play a critical role in sex education for their children, because they are the ones that can best tell when their child or children are ready for the discussion. And I don't think that discussion is one discussion. It's not one page in a book that you flip over and, okay, we've had that and it's done and so on.
So if it's up to the parents, why can't it be the parents' decision then to take them to this exhibition at the museum?
Well, that can be a part of the process, absolutely. However, that's not the way the museum is advertising it. It is promoting it as primarily as a school activity, a school outing for schools to come and bring their classes to. And parents, I think, have to be very aware of what's going on in all sex education programs. Is their child ready for that? Is their child ready for the whole gamut or not? One of the decisions we made when we were raising our children, who are now in their early 20s, is that some of the things that were going within the school system were appropriate, and other parts we excluded them from and dealt with that within our own household. And this doesn't do that. So, you know, the original context was 12 years old and up, which blew my mind when we walked in and saw some of the things they're talking about for 12-year-olds. Mm. And so I think there needs to be an adjustment there.
Nadine, I want to bring you in here.
Yes. So I work as a sex educator, and in fact, I work with this specific age group from 12 and up. And what my research shows, it actually does confirm what Dave is saying, that parents play a critical role in sex education, but parents do not play the only role. And let's just say, for argument's sake, that there's an adolescent out there who suddenly isn't comfortable talking to their parents about sex, who's curious about sex, and let's say that, you know, adolescents sometimes will go off and start to research things on their own. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there is also research that bears out that around this age, around 12, 13, that is the age when children stop coming to their parents. It's very important for them to know that their parents are there if they need them, but they stop going to their parents as much and they start looking for this information on their own.
Well, and that is a good point. I mean, we've had a tweet from Tracy who says, really, I can't believe this is, you know, that people are calling for this to be canceled. Kids can learn more on their smartphones. Are we being a little bit naive here, Dave?
No, I don't think so at all. I think we're there is an overwhelming amount of information out there. There's no question. Determining what is accurate and what is correct for your child at that particular age and stage is important to recognize. Let me throw in one other example. Towards the back of the exhibit is an interesting display asking for interaction. Once you've seen the exhibit, go out, take pictures of where society has become sexed up, oversexed, whatever you want to call it. And I think that's an interesting approach. I think what would lack there is to say, what other pictures are for advertising, because that's the main focus, what other things are good advertising aspects without being oversexed?
But can people not decide these kind of things on their own?
Well, that's true. However, it's up to people that are you know, more experts in the field, I think, that are doing some research, that are gathering research together, to actually start to stand out and speak up on some things.
Well, if I may, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. As an expert in the field, what we've learned and what research has borne out also is that youth make safer decisions and are ultimately happier in their lives and with their sexuality when they get this information before they need the information. And that's not just with sex education. Generally speaking, when we're talking about major life decisions and important adult decisions, we have found that it's very important to give people this information before we think they're going to apply it.
Okay. We have to leave it there, unfortunately, because we've run out of time. But thank you very much, both. I know we could continue this for the next half hour, probably hour. We could do an entire show on it. The conversation will continue as well on email, ottawamorning@cbc.ca, or on Twitter as well. Already starting to see some tweets on that, @OttawaMorning. Thank you both for coming in. Really appreciate it.